Join us on the What's in Your Head podcast on May 13th as we interview Danny Boone, the founding member of the music group Rehab. Welcome to my head. I'm elated that you made it. Excuse the mess. I'm mentally constipated, agitated, and aggravated. I know you're probably thinking, what in the 665 demons per brain cell in Danny's skull is going on? Celebrated artists under Average Joe Records and solo artists. Also joining him is the multi-talented Brad Darnell, not only the official photographer for Rehab, but also the co-host of the WRBN podcast. Join us on the What's in Your Head podcast on May 13th.
Do either one of you have a story about the movie Dune?
No.
Okay.
Cool. I just know you can fuck a popcorn bucket in it or something, but other than that...
That's the story I'm going with.
Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from the
Your Company Name Here
studios in Cape Coral, Florida, it's the What's in Your Head podcast.
What's up, everybody? What's up, OG5? Welcome to another episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. We're all kind of excited. We've got some very cool news about a potential guest. It should be coming on very soon. This guest I've been down with since right after 9/11, actually before 9/11, but a long time. But one thing I learned from working at Stan Haney is you don't get excited until the guest is on hold, because oftentimes they bail out or can't come in. So we don't have a date yet, so we won't let any cats out of any proverbial bags. We'll just say we got some cool shit coming down the line. We're very excited about it. Because after all, in the world of the internet, all you have to do is ask. And every once in a while, a motherfucker says yes. So, surprise. I was really surprised I got that back. So, but anyhow.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. You know, I know people like to change the language and change the definitions of things, but when was scams no longer a scam? Or more importantly, when does a scam no longer meet the requirements of Google Play Store to refund you your fucking money? Which is the better question. So as you guys know, I have a YouTube channel.
He does. I've been on it.
And as you guys probably know, if you want to have a YouTube channel nowadays, you got to have aerial footage. And so I did get myself a drone. Yay.
Get you go.
This is the DJI Mini Mavic 2 SE. The base model doesn't have warning you're going to hit shit detection, and it doesn't follow you, but fucking everything else is right there. You got to be a real asshole to lose this thing. If your controller runs out of battery, it just returns home. It literally returns to the place it left. If it disconnects signal from your controller, it'll backtrack exactly the way it came. 50 meters, try to reconnect. And if it can't find you, it fucking lands in the same spot it took off. So, I mean, you truly had to be an asshole to lose this thing. With that being said, I bought 2 years service replacement plan, including water, Mike, for $54.
Damn.
So when we're out fishing and we accidentally submerge this motherfucker, free replacement. I was watching this video. They had the GoPro in the back of their bass boat, and the husband and the wife are standing up front. And I think they have a buddy in another boat, and I can see it now. They're setting up the shot this way. Okay, we're going to start behind you guys, and we're going to cut to the drone footage as you cast, and we'll catch the cast as the drone passes over you. Well, cut to the GoPro in the back of the boat. You see the drone. You see the cast, and her fucking lure hits the drone and knocks it right into the fucking water. It's like, yeah, there goes $300 at a minimum. But anyhow, where the scam comes in on this, I downloaded, and I know you got to download the DJI app because I don't have the controller with the fancy built-in screen because that damn thing costs more than the damn drone. So I got the controller, the one that came with the controller, you plug in your phone into it. So you got to download the DJI app. You got an Android. Go to Google Play Store, DJI Fly app. There it is. Download it. Take this thing, didn't even have time to test it. Take this thing all the way to fucking Alabama because I'm thinking I'll get some cool drone footage of the C-47 at this World War II fundraiser. Guy has a beautiful farm. I get there, get permission to fly the drone, go to fly it. It connects. Can't fly. Battery's 0%. I'm like, what the fuck? I charged this thing twice. So charged up, come back later. Somebody else is flying their drone. Motherfucker. Go talk to that guy. Tell him what happened. He said, yeah, buddy, might have had that happen. That's weird. I was like, man, I don't want to return this thing. It only came with one battery, so I went on Amazon and ordered two more. Got it. Same result. How the fuck? Is this thing bad? So I get on chat session with DJ Ice Chat. And I said, hey, downloaded your app, connect the drone to it, and it says can't fly, 0%. First thing he said, send me a screenshot. No other questions. I said, well, it's at home. I'll do it later. Get home. Don't have time. Very next day, bring the drone to work. Completely different technician. Same thing. First question, send me a screenshot. Take a screenshot. He said, that's not our app. Our app's not on Google Play Store. You have to download it directly from our website. That's a scam app. Our app is free. How did he know I paid $34 for the lifetime subscription? So I download the correct app. Lo and behold, I can fly my fucking drone now. So I go to Google Play, hit fucking dispute charge, told him what happened. Okay, this will take 1 to 2 business days. We'll get back to you. Get an email. I'll read it to you verbatim because I still have it in my inbox. Your refund request for Google Play is being reviewed. We've received a refund request for $30 for lifetime premium DJI Fly Go for DJI drone. So what's the name of the app? DJI Fly Go for DJI drone. The app that does not work with the drone is compatible with it. Transaction ID, yada, yada, yada. We'll review your request and send a response within 1 to 4 business days to prevent unwanted transactions. Do XYZ. I reply back. It's not an unwanted transaction. It's a bootleg website. Get a reply back this morning. Your request has been denied. Doesn't fall within the category of our refund. A bootleg app? DJI app is available on the Apple Store. Not available on Google. There's bootleg copies of it. You have to download it directly. So clearly there's a issue between DJI and Google. They don't get along. And so Google's making money off of their service fees on the transaction for this bootleg program that clearly DJI is so aware of that as soon as you tell them what happens, their first thing is send us a screenshot so that we can prove that it's not our app. And then once I downloaded their – and they said – this isn't our app. Our app's not available. And I didn't even tell them right. I just said I downloaded the app because they've dealt with it so much clearly. They said, go to our – he sent me the link. Actually, sent me a QWERTY code. Here's our app. It's on our website. We're not available on Google Play. Our app is free. Does not charge money. Because they've heard it so many times. So Google is knowingly just letting this fucking app fly at $34 a pop. Insane. Good thing it wasn't more than that, but it's just – hey, $34. I just told you I paid $54 for 2 years worth of insurance on this. If you're a young cat who's fucking spent your last knot getting you your first drone, you get swindled on this. Now you don't have the money. You gotta go bum $50 off your mom to get insurance on it. That's a lot of money.
That's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like contacting.
I'm just gonna call my bank and dispute the charge. Fuck Google and the other cat. Because chargebacks cost the vendor money.
Yeah, but when you do that, don't they like cancel your card and shit like
that? No, you just do a disputed charge. You say, hey, I bought this app. Turns out it was a bootleg. It was not as advertised. Google said they're not going to give me my money back. I want to dispute this charge. And in my experience, they actually charge the vendor. So Google would actually get hit by their bank for the chargeback.
Right.
So, but I mean, how fucked up is that?
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Google doesn't give a shit.
They email you from a non-reply email address, so you can't reply back. Because I'm like, I was getting all snarky with them. I was like, oh, Google, don't be evil. Those were the days, weren't they? But hey, you got to get your money off this shit now. Because that was the original Google slogan for their company was don't be evil.
Hey, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Apple.
A who?
Go to Apple.
You mean the company that's one of the first technology companies to get sued for a fucking monopoly since Microsoft in 1990?
Yeah, but guess who doesn't have bullshit apps like that on their app store?
Yeah, because Google. Because
you got to pay for all of them.
Because Apple makes all the money. That's where they're getting sued. They're getting sued for not allowing you to put a wallet on there. So if you have an iPhone, Apple makes all the processing fees off your Google wallet, off all your tap-to-pay transactions.
Hey. Couple dollars for an app. I'm okay with that. At least I'm not going to get scammed out of $30.
Yeah, but Androids are far superior phones. They have better cameras, better processors, better RAM. Apple's even recently admitted it. They said, hey, people buy our shit because it's a lifestyle brand. Not our fault. They had better marketing. They had the cool kid in the polo shirt making fun of the nerdy guy in the fucking 2000s. That Microsoft. Yep. I never owned it. Both of my kids, when they turned
15, they both insisted that they had to have an iPhone. So I got them an iPhone, and they both came to me within 3 months and said, Dad, I hate this phone. Can I get something else?
Androids are so good.
Like, no tough shit.
Top of the line Androids are so good that they actually have to fucking nerf them for people to handle them. So if you go into settings, go to about phone, hold it down for like 7 seconds, you can enable developer mode, and then you scroll down and you set the refresh rate from 1 down to 0.5 and your apps open faster. They literally had to throttle down how fast the apps open up. So you can actually go into the developer mode on them.
See, all that's like way too much shit for me. Like,
exactly. That's why you got a slow iPhone. It's too much for
my
me.
My iPhone is plenty fast how enough, do I do fucker. This?
It loads you porn just fast
enough.
Like
I said earlier, I'm technologically retarded.
Yeah, you're one of those. You're too generic for Pornhub. You're a U-porn kind of guy.
Oh, my God. Get out of here. No, I'm an X-videos man.
I'm an X. I like X-hamster.
And see, I can't say
you do
anything
not know what
to...
any of those things are you're speaking of.
Yeah. I can't say anything because you're the fucking techie guy too. So
I just want
to thing I have to say against tech, you're like
speaking of tech, shout out to you two for letting us move the show one night while I saved 20 years worth of fucking data.
Jesus.
And when I say 20 years worth of data, I'm not no hyperbole. So I didn't get my first computer until 2001, right before I got married. Got myself a compact Passario, financed it. Had like a 1.2 gigahertz processor, 256 meg DDR, not even DDR, PC 133 RAM. Went to school for computer, slowly added hard drives as I was going through computer school, putting video card. Got to the day where the motherboard was, you know, obsolete. Took the hard drives. When I got a job at CompUSA, showing my age, built a new machine, put my Windows in there, loaded the drivers, same version. So I went from Windows Millennium to 2000, 2000 to XP, kept moving it from computer case to computer case and upgrading someone's old computer. I would steal their motherboard on their old one because it's better. Made it all the way to Windows 10, but it was 32-bit because back in 1999, 2000, it was 32-bit. So I literally had the same instance of Windows running from 2001 up until 2020, I think it was, 2021 maybe. And I finally had to do a clean install so I could install the 64-bit version of Windows. But I still have the data that was created. But so Tuesday I came in here to pull some a best of show for What's the Scuttlebutt, and apparently my computer booted. And right on screen it said, imminent hard drive failure. SATA drive 01. Well, I have two hard drives in my computer. The primary is an SSD drive, no spinning parts. It's basically a 512 meg fucking SSD card, right? And that's what Windows runs on, so it's nice and fast. For all the storage I have, over 600 podcasts, all the YouTube videos of my music that I downloaded illegally in 2001, I still have it all. And so that's on a 2 terabyte spinning drive, and it about crash. And so I was going to get an SSD on Amazon. I was like, I'm not paying $200 for a hard drive. Let's see what the old spinning one. It was $43 for 3 terabytes, and I had it the very next morning. And so I just transferred everything over, and so I didn't lose a fucking thing. I saved it all right before the hard drive died.
That's awesome.
All right, before we move on, I just want to say, bring up the category of someone who died that no one gives a shit about. We don't feel sorry for him at all. Hey. We just want to bid you a farewell and a fuck you to O.J. Simpson. Died today at the age of 76 with a battle of cancer. Hopefully it was a
pile of shit.
Hopefully he had the most painful cancer. O.J. Simpson, who's infamous.
Hell gained a new resident today.
Yeah. O.J. Simpson's, who immense fame and football field was eclipsed by his infinity off. I'm sorry, his infamity off of it, died Wednesday, according to his family. He was 76. Simpson, who's been battling cancer and no one's given a shit, had been in hospice, which we didn't know because, well, no one gives a shit. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer, read a statement posted by the family on X, or as we call it here on the What's in Your Head podcast, fucking Twitter. O.J. Simpson, the first player to reach a rushing mark many thought could not be obtained in the 14-game season when he topped his 2,000 yards, Pro Football Hall of Fame president Jim Porter said in a statement, quote, his on-field contribution to the preserve in the Hall of Fame's archive in Canton, Ohio, but I think it kicked him out shortly after the whole Nicole debacle. No matter what Simpson did, he was always a football player, but some of you young cats probably knew him from the rental car commercials and his appearances in Naked Gun 1 through 18. But as you all know, he had a slip and fall, allegedly, with a knife that lopped off his wife's head and then got stains on his beautiful, very expensive Isor Turner gloves, I think they were, which, fun fact, they kind of shrink up and they get laced with a shit ton of blood and then they no longer fit. Who would have seen that coming? Anyhow, the guy's dead. Fuck him. Let's move on.
Good riddance.
Mike, what's on your list of shit for the day?
Oh, my God.
Don't be so selfish. He's my God, too.
Are you guys familiar with the movie Dune?
No.
Neither was I until the story kind of popped up out of nowhere.
Wasn't it a game? I know it was a book.
No, that's Dune.
No, I know Dune was, but I thought Dune was a game. I thought it was a computer game. I don't know. Maybe
I'm not sure.
I know it's based off of a book, and I know there was the movie.
As a headline from the Daily Mail, film fans are left horrified by Dune 2 promotional popcorn bucket that looks just like a raunchy sex toy.
Hold that thought. Dune is a 1992 adventure strategy game based on the 1965 novel by the same name. So yes, it was a video game in the 90s. I knew I heard the name somewhere.
So continue. Insert picture here.
I think
this looks exactly like what you think it does.
A garbage disposal? It looks similar to a garbage disposal.
It looks similar to a garbage disposal. Also similar to a gigantic fleshlight.
You know what it also looks like?
Is what they've been comparing it to?
You know what it also looks like? Have you seen those videos where the guy...
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the videos where the guy smolts down like lead or metal and then he pours them in a fire anthill and dries it off?
Yeah.
That popcorn bucket looks like somebody did that in the Sylacc pit in Star Wars and then pulled that out.
But I mean, honestly, like, who in any kind of design team or something like that decided, yeah, this is a good fucking idea. We'll have them stick their hands in these little rubber fingers to pull out their popcorn.
They knew. Just like the young sailor in the new Navy promotional ad who's on his gloves as he's welding has written across the knuckles of his welding gloves, I eat ass. And they put that on the Navy Facebook page as a promotional video and a professionally done photograph. He knew. They knew.
As the story goes on, it says the tan-colored container, which boasts a flower-shaped opening, was supposed to evoke the mouth of the franchise's sandworm monster.
Mm-hmm.
But the object has been conjuring a rather different form for many dirty-minded social media users who were quick to point out the uncanny similarity between plastic popcorn receptacle and a fleshlight.
You ever had a friend of yours call you up and say, hey, dude, you got to get yourself a fleshlight? I have, and it's a very, very uncomfortable conversation that I did not initiate whatso-fucking-ever and felt like I needed to take a fucking rape shower after I got off the phone. So I don't want to know about you fucking inanimate objects. I have no interest. I don't even want to hear you talking about banging your wife, let alone an inanimate object that she may be contributing to the conversation. Just saying. Why do I feel like Seinfeld? What's the deal?
What's the deal with that? Oh my God. So yeah, that's an interesting interesting choice. Theaters across America are putting this out there for the new movie premiere. Also, by the way, it's a $30 popcorn bucket. So you
I'll
can
buy
add
it.
That to the list of
shit.
Oh,
so it's
I
almost as much
buying.
As a Fleshlight item.
Exactly. Exactly.
I wouldn't know. They'll buy
yeah,
it just
I
like
walked into that one.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like don't if your kid's a Harry Potter fan, don't ever take them to fucking Universal because they'll be buying. I took my daughter there. No, I get it. I noticed the irony because I'm a guy who dresses up like fucking World War II G.I. Joe on the weekend, so I get it. But I took her there and she was old enough she had a job. She bought the fucking magic wand, the fucking cloak, the whole nine yards. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Drop $500 Universal on fucking half of a fucking cosplay outfit for Dingledorf or whatever the hell it is. I'm Harry Potter was out of my age group. I was building ambulances when those books were being talked about.
That was my age group. I was just like Harry was in the story. He was 11. I was 11 when the book came out. Well, I believe I was. I was either 11 when the book came out, or I was 11 when the movie came out.
Where's your fucking pride? Being 11, reading a book about a magical boy? Bitch, I had a cartoon bunny on my sleeping bag called Roger fucking Rabbit. Gotta have some pride.
Hey, don't give me no shit. I've watched that movie probably a dozen times and still love it to this day.
See if
day.
I can do this 38 years later. No, I can't.
Please, Eddie.
I used to be able to do the lip thing. I can't do it anymore. Why can't I do that? It's another thing getting old. I can't park and I can't do the please, Eddie, anymore. I can't do it. I can't flip. I used to be able to do that thing with my lips. I can't do it anymore. I don't know why. That's a shame. Good thing I didn't have that on my fucking, like, my casting card on my fucking casting. Can do a hell of a Roger Rabbit.
Speaking of which, did you have an agent and all that stuff?
No, I'm a member of a casting company, and that's how I get those emails.
Oh,
but gotcha. Fun fact, I'm a mixed family here. Well, kind of mixed. There's two crackers and a Hispanic. I'll get casting calls for commercials where they're looking for real families, but they want mixed families. It's always we're looking for mixed race families. They can't have all black families, all white families, but we're always one kid shy. They always want like the son and the daughter or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing nowadays.
Get casting calls like, hey, bring your family, do this fucking Disney commercial. Each one of you will get paid $300 a day, but like we're one kid shy. So damn it. Maybe I'll just borrow your kid next time. I got two.
Do, 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 do. Hey, bring your kid over to my house. I got something to do.
Ain't better than making them mow my yard. Come do a commercial with me, kid. You get paid $225.
Hey, I'll put them to work. Take them with you. I don't care. Shit.
Get them out of the house.
Yeah, that's right.
Do, do,
oh, my
do,
goodness.
Here's a fun little video. I'm going to skip ahead. It's guys making fun of the cat who played the Power Rangers because he's... Well, I'll just play the whole thing. We used to have a segment on here called TikTok Lesson of the Week. But this one's really kind of important to all the dipshits in the world. So just pay attention to this. I'm going to let it play through, and then we can discuss it, and then we'll move on to Morgan's topic of the day. So hold tight.
The weird thing about these fast food companies that are closing in California due to the wage hike is they're just showing you that they would rather make no money than less money.
Weird thing about TikTok creators who don't understand the business economics of a franchise model will somehow still talk about it. So almost all fast food restaurants are franchises, which means they're not owned by the main company. They are owned and managed by a local small business owner. And they're not making nearly as much money as you think. Like, let's say you had a McDonald's in California. Now, if you look at the numbers, the average McDonald's in California brings in around $3 million. That's revenue, not profit. So all the bills are paid out of that $3 million. And after you pay all the bills and payroll and all that shit, the franchise owner usually goes home with somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000 a year. Now, if you have a really good location, you can sometimes get that up to around $300,000. Let's use that one as our example. Let's say that you are the franchise owner of a McDonald's in California and you are taking home $300,000 a year. Let's even take taxes out of it. Let's say after taxes, you are going home with $300,000 a year. except when you take into account that it usually costs between $1 to $2 million to start the franchise. And as per McDonald's franchise rules, 40% of that must have been in cash and not borrowed money. That means you actually put in around $400,000 to $800,000 of your own money. And let's just say you got a loan for the rest. Let's just say you took that on a 20-year loan. You got time to pay it off. But now let's take this new minimum wage increase into play. Generally, a McDonald's location has anywhere from 40 to 50 employees. Let's take the lower end. Let's say you have 40 workers. Now, the minimum wage in California before it kicked to 22 was 16. And let's pretend that nobody's a manager, nobody's a shift manager, nobody's making more than that. You're just a dirtbag owner who pays everybody 16. And we'll just pretend that managers will work for that same price, even though we know that's not going to happen. But I want to keep the math easy for you because you're obviously struggling on this. So you have 40 employees at $16 an hour. That would mean your payroll at its most basic is about $25,600. That's taking out unemployment insurance and all this other shit. I'm just trying to keep it basic. $25,600 in payroll per week. That would make your payroll for the year right around $1.3 million. We already know that with $1.3 million in payroll, you're taking home $300,000. Now let's see what the owner's take home is when we increase the minimum wage to $22, just like California just did. Now your weekly payroll is $35,200, making your yearly payroll $1.83 million, and that's a difference of $500,000, and you were taking home $300,000, but now you're in the negative $200,000. That means you spent $1 to $2 million to start a franchise. You spent anywhere from $400,000 to $800,000 of your own money, as well as took out a loan, which you're going to pay interest on. And whereas you were taking home $300,000 a year, now with the new minimum wage rules, if you don't lay people off or you don't drastically raise your prices, now instead of taking home $300,000, you are losing $200,000.
People don't think about that. Unless you've done management or ran your own business, people don't. They just assume. It's so funny. You're like, Mike, you could start a business tomorrow, and within next week you'll meet somebody you know who. Oh, you started. They just assume you're instantly rich. Boom, like a light switch. And I laugh because I started my own business in 2004, and last 20 years I'd seen. You know, I'd hear about or see people start a business. They get a business loan. What do they do? Go out and buy a brand new fucking car. It's like, dumbass. But people don't think about that.
Yeah.
I remember I was at Skyline about 5 years ago, and employees are complaining that they only get 2 free hot dogs a night, plus a drink, maybe 3. And I was like, we're on 41 in the Sam's Club Plaza. All of your all's revenue comes in based on how much chili and hot dogs you can sell a night. This fucking place is probably $4,000 a month in rent, let alone your payroll, the electricity, liability insurance, and all that. Yeah, your owners aren't exactly raking in the money here. I mean, how many hot dogs do they have to sell just to flip the fucking payroll? But people don't think about stuff like that. And so when, you know, the governor of California raises his minimum wages, and except for Panera Bread, because, you know, old boy's my homeboy. You heard that story, right? So the...
Yeah, that was...
Go ahead, explain it to Mike.
Yeah, it was basically they put so many restrictions on this minimum wage raise that, you know, it's almost nobody... Unless it's like a huge franchise, like
no, there was actually an exemption
like that.
There was actually not even that. No, this applies to everybody but one company. Well, maybe three. Oh, they wrote an exemption in that if you bake bread,
yeah,
you're exempt. And the only person who falls in that category is Panera Bread, and the owner of like 600 chains in California is friends with the governor. So it's like it's just fucking everything is so gross now when it comes to. Politics, but yeah, so
their minimum wage didn't get hiked up.
Panera Bread's correct
because they bake fresh bread.
Yep. So either A, everybody's going to start baking.
How is that a fucking loophole?
What's that? How is that? How did they make it a loophole?
Yeah,
because the dude who owns 700 franchises, or like I think 60 or 80 franchises in the entire state of California, is friends with the governor, so they worked that in. You know, so
if I was the other business owners,
they're either going to start baking bread, or B, yeah. Panera Bread's going to go out of business because all their good employees are going to go across the street to fucking McDonald's and make an extra fucking $4 an hour.
Yeah.
Until McDonald's lays them all off because have you seen that video? of two or three of the McDonald's in California. You walk in, they have the same kiosk we have with the push button. There's no one at the front counter. It's just two guys in the back and a fucking window. You self-order, you tap to pay, and they hand your shit through a window. There's like two guys in the entire store now. Everybody else is gone. No more dining room, no more needing to clean. Oh, it's all gone.
That's just about what it's like. There's a two-story
yep.
McDonald's on Colonial. Now, they still have the dining room and all that shit, but they make all the shit upstairs. And it comes down on a fucking conveyor belt. And then it slides out into the bin there. They put it into a bag and they throw it at you. Like, here you go.
I remember when I worked at Stan Haney, Haney did a story, God, years ago. It may have been on Stan Haney before I even worked there, there was a period of time, I think about 8 years ago, McDonald's, without telling anybody, they outsourced like 30 of their corporate-owned locations, maybe a couple of the franchises. They outsourced the menu board to a guy in a call center, two or three guys in a call center. They're doing like 50 stores throughout the country. And at the time, this was 10 years ago, they found that outsourcing the menu board to somebody in a call center, the accuracy went up to almost like 94%, opposed to paying someone to stand in that window and wait for you to come. But people were bitching about outsourcing work, and so they brought it back in-house. But yeah, they actually found by paying someone in a call center to take the orders, the accuracy was far more superior than paying someone hourly to stand in that board, in that box, and do really? It. Yeah. So it saddens me to see the demise of California, because I used to live there and I loved the actual geographical, you know, the beach, the surfing, all that shit.
Yeah, but sure that's why
it's kind of fun to watch it all melt fucking down.
That place has been falling apart for years.
Mm-hmm. I left there 20 years ago. Yeah. So what do you got on your list of shit there, Morgan?
We talked about the human piece of garbage that died today.
Yes.
I wanted to talk really quick about a hero who passed on Monday, Colonel Ralph Puckett, who, you know, not a lot of people have heard of, but he was a lieutenant in Korea, got commission sent over there, and got his first company and just about got overrun by the Chinese. And just to be brief, I could talk about this guy for about an hour, but between Korea and Vietnam, he got 2 silver stars, 2 bronze stars, 2 distinguished crosses, one of which was later upgraded to a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Wow.
And 5 Purple Hearts. Yeah, I mean, this guy was a straight up badass.
Yeah.
He was early on with the Rangers and helped found the Ranger School. So the guy is like a straight up American hero.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've already seen in, I don't know, what, 8-10 hours since OJ died, all of this talk about, you know, just over and over, reposts and reposts. And a guy like this, who is like straight up what America's all about, gets almost no recognition whatsoever. If it wasn't for a podcast I listen to on my way home from work every day, I probably wouldn't have heard anything about it. Maybe, you know, Task and Purpose on Facebook or something. But, you know, we let these guys fade into oblivion. And I just think that, you know, it's definitely something worth, you know, at least it needs to be mentioned.
Yeah.
Even if it isn't, you know, more than just, you know, a fat old soldier talking about it on a podcast somewhere.
Yeah, I had never even really heard of him. I don't know if that's on me because I'm not big on you know, not a big history buff, or if it's, you know, on our country as a whole because it's not talked about enough.
Well, it just comes down to, with mainstream media and even social media, if it's not negative, it's not going to get the clicks, and so it's just
very true.
It's not.
Yeah. Very, but yeah, this guy went as far as delivering ammo to his men, getting shot, getting shrapnel from a grenade, and he still got to the front, rendered aid to some of his guys. And then when he was too wounded to do anything, he ordered his men to leave him there and make sure that they all got, you know, got out safely, which of course they didn't do. I mean, they, you know, all I could picture was, you know, Lieutenant Dan over, you know, Gump's shoulders running out of there, but these two guys pulled him out. And, you know, he's like, and when he was interviewed later on, he said, you know, I'm really glad that those guys disobeyed my order, you know, because I wouldn't be here to talk to you otherwise.
No shit.
But even after he was medically discharged, he'd still show up to Benning every day and walk the firing line and everything while the Rangers were doing training and mentor these guys and help them to be better. And he was also one of the first inductees into the Ranger Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So, I mean, the guy's like straight up hero. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Speaking of heroes.
Rest in peace, Colonel Puckett.
Yeah, you said that was, he passed away on Monday?
Mm-hmm. Okay. At 97 years old.
Wow.
So.
The greats are dying on us, man. A lot of the greats are going.
Speaking of greats, here's another military great. When did you get out of service, Morgan?
1990
what? Your mic broke up.
Six.
And when were you serving, Mike?
2009 to 2015.
Okay, then you may be familiar with the story. Sorry, Morgan, don't apply to you. But another military hero dies. For nearly two decades, his identity and origins have remained something of a mystery to U.S. service members. His face has been plastered across base exchanges and internet forums around the world, eyes fixed on a mustard-laden hot dog before him, his mouth agape, his soda gently cradled in his other hand. His is a portrait of both imminent hunger and imminent satisfaction. An advertisement for the quick grab snack that, whether the military wants to acknowledge it or not, are the real fuel for the human weapons system. He is the AAFES hot dog guy, and his hunger knows no bounds. Are you familiar with this photo, Mike? Did you ever see it, like when you went to get food? It's a guy in camouflage, BDU, not even ACU, camouflage BDU. He's got a hot dog on one hand. Just Google the hot dog, military's hot dog guy. And he has a
I saw this story.
He's like this.
Day.
He's like this. So apparently a guy serving overseas during Iraq war and all that, his face was hung up anywhere they served food. In reality, his name is Robin Williams.
You know, that shit looks, that is familiar now. Holy shit, I used to see that in the DFAC all the time. Oh, my God.
In reality, his name is Robin Williams, and he is the current healthcare program manager for the Army and Air Force Exchange. After years of questions regarding his viral photo, his origin story is finally known to us. In July, holy in a press crap. Release that I'm embarrassed to have missed at the time of this publication, the AAFES editor Robert Phillips details the extremely unlikely yet hilarious mundane origins of the AAFES hot dog guy. Who arrived at Exchange HQ in 2004 as an active duty Air Force Senior Master Sergeant and the Service Public Health and Food Safety Liaison. According to the Pile Pot, Williams was assigned to the Exchange, quote, at the time that we were at a heightened concern with food vulnerability and a potential for bioterrorism attacks on the nation's food supply and at the risk of targeting military installations in particular in the aftermath of September 11th terrorist attacks. Though his work enhancing the Air Force food system programs, Williams got to know two key personnel, the AAFES VP of Consumable, Reggie Dawson, and Michael nurse. The buyer, who was working on the new, quote, Snack Avenue concept at the Exchange, then so-called Shopettes, which not only served coffee and prepackaged snacks, but also incorporated a few features with a self-served roller grill that cooked items such as taquitos, hot dogs, and other items. So, make long story short, during the photo shoot, he kind of just grabbed that and just did a quick shot. Well, sadly, he passed away at the age of 60.
Oh, shit.
The beloved Air Force chief behind the AAFES hot dog guy has passed away. Let's see here. The man was retired Master Chief Sergeant Robin Williams, as we previously said. To be clear, the now iconic Williams has died of a heart attack on March 14th, 2024, at the age of 50. It was more than just a meme. Now the beloved chief is being rightfully eulogized by those military members who remember him so fondly, both as their senior leader and, of course, as the AAFES hot dog guy. So we bid both of the military legends farewell.
Have you ever noticed that every soldier has a porn star mustache?
At least in those days, they did. That's when the ruse of can't shave due to gas mask sealment didn't really apply anymore. Oh, we just lost Mike. Oh, he's back.
I'll have to see if I can find some of my old pictures, because I totally flat top with the porn star mustache. It was pretty epic.
I've got a few pictures of myself with the old dirty stash going there. Rocking it in regulation, too.
My boss took me out to lunch today because it was the anniversary of my hiring 2 years ago. So we went to Annie's restaurant. And this lady walked
2 years already, huh?
Yep, this lady walked in with her dad, who's carrying her daughter. He was straight as a fucking ramrod, had that 2-inch flat top straight out of 1984. I'm like, that motherfucker was a Marine Corps drill sergeant at some point. He still had that high and tight. He was ramrod straight. He's probably 74, carrying his granddaughter in. So, yeah, motherfucker's Jesus. A Marine. You can tell. Holding on to that fucking high and tight, holding on to it hard. He ain't going to let his hair grow out like no goddamn pussy.
Little gunnery sergeant Thomas Highway.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. That's that high and tight. Yep. Last week I went to Alabama, just real quick. Was up there for the Honor Flight fundraiser. You know the Hargrove Trucking? You ever heard of Hargrove Trucking?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trucking?
Yeah. Hargrove Trucking.
Hardgrove?
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of something else.
What are you thinking of?
Hargrove.
Yeah, Hargrove. That's what I meant.
Well, they have trucks, but they're a landscaping company.
Okay. Maybe not.
They got the flames on the side of the truck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This may be a different cap, but guy's name's Ron Hargrove. He owns a trucking company, but he's up in Alabama. He had the fundraiser at his farm. And if you guys saw the TikTok I did with the C-47, that's at his farm. That video of the tanks and shit, that's in his barn, two stalls over from his daughter's four horses. That's just in an active barn. The little museum you saw me walk, that's in his barn.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, we all drove up there. He flipped us hotel. Boy, it came out. So I picked up Don Dickey. He does most of the photography stuff. He's a reenactor as well. I picked him up so I left here at 3 in the morning because I had to pick him up at 8 so we can be in Alabama by 2. And he flipped the bill for 6 hotel rooms. There was like 8 of us. And so we're handing out keys, and Don has 2 keys in his hands. And Ted's like, well, the 4 of us rode together, so we should sleep together, share a room. And 2 other guys did the same thing. Long story short, 4 of the guys leave, and me and Don are standing there with 2 keys. I'm like, fucking sweet. We get our own goddamn room. So long story short, we went up there, had a good time, met one of the Republican congressmen for the state of Alabama. He was there. But, yeah, it was pretty cool, good time. But that's get up at 3 in the morning, drive up there, was there from 2 to 10, go back, sleep. I got 9 hours of sleep. I got a fucking puppy. That's the most sleep I've had in 2 weeks. That damn dog wakes me up every morning at 4 a.m. So I went to bed at like 9:30, slept until 7 a.m., got up and drove home. But yeah, it was a good time.
Hell yeah.
So which one did you meet?
I sent you that picture. You see that dirty stash?
Oh, is that awesome? Sorry, I was like, I got four text messages, but yeah, I'm like, why the fuck am I getting so many text messages? The funny thing is,
dirty stash. Oh god, it's gross.
Look at you and your
worm on my upper lip.
Look at you and your cute little ACUs. You have the Digicam. You're a Digicam man.
Oh yeah,
Digicam man. That was before they went to the green flags, huh?
No, green flags you got if you deployed.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
At least at the time you did.
Gotcha.
My right shoulder.
That doesn't even really count as a mustache. That just looks like you fucking drank too much coffee, like a kid drinks Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I know. That's how bad it was. Coffee stash. I was so young. I was so young, too, because it didn't grow in very well. It wasn't very thick, so it was like, fuck.
You're like Gordon growing a beard. He grows the world's most patchiest beard. He makes Keanu Reeves look like...
Is that why he always has the chin stubble?
Yeah, because he can't grow a beard. He makes Keanu Reeves look like he should be fucking... goddamn lumberjack.
Oh my god.
Yeah, fun times.
Look at old Morgan there. We need to post these pictures up when you get this video
edited. Well, email me the photos, and then probably should be left off air, but who cares? Morgan, email me a bio. Mike, email me a bio too, so I can put bios up on the whatsinyourhead.com. Speaking of whatsinyourhead.com, head over to whatsinyourhead.com, click on the merch link. You can go there and buy a shirt and mugs and all kinds of cool shit. You also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Do a lot of help if you do that. And then if you really want to, head over to click on the Patreon link, sign up and subscribe. It's only $1 a month. There's two other tiers on there too, but we don't talk about those. We're happy getting your $1 a month. So do all that, and it'll go a long way with helping us maintain the light bill around here.
The big tier.
It's a big fat $7.50 a month.
That's right. Go for the big tier.
Big tier.
Is it long arms, deep pockets?
Yeah, long arms, deep pocket plans.
That's right.
You don't want to do shallow arms, short pockets. Got my GoPro. You didn't say nothing about my fucking nice little fishing jersey here, fella.
Look at you with your fancy ass Cass King fucking jersey. Holy crap. Damn.
Look at that.
Ooh. 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 Posing.
Ooh. Oh, real quick. Also, head over to Patreon and sign up and subscribe, because I just ordered a super really fucking expensive printer today so I can make you people free stickers. So please head over there and help that $1 a month help to refinance my pockets to pay for this super expensive printer so that I can make high-end quality. You know, we make the vinyl stickers, but let's be honest. You have to be somewhat not of a moron to know how to put those on your vehicle. And there's a lot of not saying that our audience are, but you know, a lot of people that the regular stickers, the color sticker, you just pull off and slap on there. The vinyl stickers, you got to spray your window, you got to put on there, you got to get your driver's license out, you got to get scribbity scrape. I love this. Have you guys seen those dipshits who drive around town with the cover still on it? It's been like on there for like 6 months. It's like, you know, you peel that off after like 4 hours in the sun, right? I've seen like years ago when I would see people driving with that shit still, but it's all faded and dirty. You can tell it's been on there for fucking months. It's like that part comes off.
Speaking of that, I got a funny story I gotta tell you.
Sure.
When you're done with the spiel.
Yeah, but anyhow, head over to Patreon so that I can send you free stickers, because Patreon members get free shit, right? So we send free stickers out. We used to send the vinyl ones out, but basically it would take me 20 minutes to cut one fucking sticker. So free for you is a fucking 3 weeks worth of labor for me. So that's why I stopped giving those out so much. So because and people want small ones. They don't want you plastering their rear window. And the smaller, the What's in Your Head's not that bad. The What's the Scuttlebutt, where it has your favorite World War II based podcast, that shit usually doesn't come out. It gets scraped off before it even makes into the sticker mode. But yeah, we're going to high quality, high grade color which is why I had to buy an expensive printer, because you can't buy a cheap printer because they look like cheap, you know. So anyhow, head over to another reason to sign up for Patreon. We send out free shit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to treat this shit like it's 1997, right? Back in the day when they had street teams. Because nowadays, you know, fucking, unless you want to pay teams. Unless you want to pay Facebook and all that, we post stuff on Facebook, like four people see it, and then Facebook's like, hey, you pay us $20, we'll make sure the other 1,500 people who subscribe to your account will fucking see your post. So I'm literally just going to print up stacks of stickers, and I'm just going to mail them to people in envelopes and, like, fucking just hand these out.
We need street to just teams. Start slapping them right up on. Around town, too, doing some...
I still see the digital 410 logos around.
Some old school fucking staple paper to the to the damn telephone poles and shit, too.
So, yeah, we're going to be printing up stickers, and I'm just going to be mailing them out to all my Patreon members. We got a new one today for What's the Scuttle. I got three cats in different continents now, so I'm sending them... This new one lives over in the United Kingdom, so.
Hell yep. Yeah.
Sending them out the way. Who's got one more story before we wrap things up?
I think Morgan said he was going to pull something out. Talk
about Excuse something. Me while well, I whip this gonna... out.
Where are the white women?
Hey, fellas, where are all the white ladies at? You know, I was disappointed. I found out. So they always say, you know, the only reason that movie was made is Richard Pryor was a writer. Yeah, he was. Just found out he only wrote Mongo's dialogue, which was Telegram from Mongo. No, he didn't say Telegram. He said like five things. So Richard Pryor, he did contribute and tell them to keep all the N-words in, but he didn't write the movie. He wrote Mongo's dialogue, which was like maybe, what, three lines? So, yeah.
So we'll go back to the beginnings of COVID.
Do we have to?
Speaking of,
oh, God, please, no.
Not peeling stuff off. So working in welding supplies, I was one of the few companies that actually had face shields when everybody was clamoring for them. So I get a call from a local hospital chain from, you know, one of their, you know, neurosurgery departments. And we want every face shield that you got. I said, okay, no problem. So we had the store closed. We were putting everything in boxes, putting it on the dock. So I get this brief phone call from this doctor. Are you stupid or something? And I'm like, well, I mean, that's not the first time I've been accused of that. But, you know, what exactly are you talking about? I wanted clear face shields, not the blue ones. And I'm like, what? All of these face shields are blue. They're not clear.
You mean just like your wife's washing machine display? Yeah.
And I couldn't help myself. I said, they let you root around in people's heads?
Yeah, after they called you dumb.
You gotta peel the protective coat. Yeah. I said, you have to peel the protective coating off of it so it's clear.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you walk into his house, his washer and dryer still have that shit on there.
Yeah. I know what hospital chain I'm not going to if I ever need brain surgery.
You mean Lee Health?
Let me know off air when you...
Fuck that. It's probably Lee Health.
Yeah, exactly. It probably is. Nobody gives a shit about Lee Health that, around here.
That wasn't fucking Med Park.
Oh, man. But yeah, I just had to laugh about that when you said, you know, not peeling the backing off of the stickers.
I mean, stuff like that is so fucking obvious sometimes. I mean, it's
how many times is
it common sense for, you know, the average person to be able to figure that out? But just looking at it, you know, the fucking shit peels off.
Well, I jokingly said that about the washers and dryers, but how many times have I walked into an office and the monitor still has the plastic around it, or the big screen TV still has it on the corners?
Yep.
I don't know. My cheap $25 Amazon radio in my old truck still has the plastic coating over the display.
Oh, God, but that's Morgan, just so please. It doesn't
get beat up. I mean, at least I know it comes off.
You got your money's worth out of that. I can't say anything. I still have a CD player in my car.
You have a what?
A LaserDisc player still in my truck. My OEM radio has a CD player.
So do you say, you can't say LaserDisc because there's Lazar and there's
compact discs.
Well, I was making a joke because when I said CD, you said what, as if to say that's old. Then I doubled down with the Laserdisc player.
Oh, trust me, I'm so old enough to know what a fucking CD is.
What's that, Morgan?
You still have the big book of CDs that you drive around with?
No, they're in my garage. I still have all my pages. I still have all the CDs that didn't get stolen because I lost
a bunch of his stack. I've seen his stack of CDs in the garage. They're still in the fucking case.
Those are just the survivors. I still have. I got 100 of them still in their jewel cases.
Oh my goodness!
But yeah, I've had 3 of those books stolen out of my cars.
Oh yeah. It'll be like the CarMax commercial. All it'll play is Nookie by Limp Bizkit or something.
As you can see a little bit behind me, behind some of these pictures and stuff like that, like I've still got some physical copies of video games and DVDs.
Well, that's the smart way to go because there's already a lot of late-age millennials bitching because all of the digital media they bought, all the videos they paid for, the digital downloads, shit has a shelf life on it, so they go to play it and it's expired. They're like, fuck you, I bought all this shit. And it's, they can't. Yeah, a lot of them are saying that some of the older ones from like the mid 2000s, they're gone.
No fucking.
Yeah, because the production companies don't want to store that shit on their computers because they, you know, fucking hard drive space and all. Yeah. Like they're fucking, and like all this old Gen X is like, that's why I have 300, because in this closet across the podcast studio, I got about 200 DVDs because when Carrie and I first got together, we couldn't afford cable. Yeah. So we'd just watch live TV or we would go to Walmart on Tuesdays when all the new shit came out. All the older shit ended up in the $5 bucket.
$5.
And so we were just constantly buying $5 DVDs, going home and just watching that and all the as I said earlier, I had all the Band of Brothers on my computer that I downloaded illegally. I had all the seasons of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I had fucking throwback cartoons of Looney Tunes and all that, which that's the only shit I lost in this data transfer, which I still have on this hard drive because it hasn't failed yet. But like, it had a weird permission error, and I'm like, I don't care if I still have this Aqua Teen Hunger Force shit. I just left it on everything else I dragged off. But yeah, so.
Man, that would have been the one thing I would have saved.
Well, this hard drive's still good. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not good. Yeah, it's still
and meat wad, man.
It's still limping along. MCP pants. Yep.
Oh my goodness.
A few years ago, I'd have played some that shit on here, but yeah, when I finally get around to editing the video and put it up, YouTube just won't take it down anyhow. But yeah, we're excited. We potentially have probably one of the biggest guests that we've had on this podcast. You know who the current biggest guest we've had on this podcast was? And we had him when no one knew when he was coming up.
Who's that?
1 second. I want to make sure I get the name.
You got to have this shit on the fly, man.
Well, he goes by the name Captain Autism, AJ Wilkerson.
Really?
Yeah, we had him on the podcast back when it was me and Gordon. He's really blown up now. He served in the military. After military, he started having these shakes. He got diagnosed with autism late in life, and now like he has no control of his hand and shit. But yeah, he's a comedian. We've had him on the show. I mean, he's his name may not be household, but if you're on social media, you definitely recognize his face.
Yeah, I've seen him before.
Yeah.
I've never like actually watched his stuff, but
yeah, we had him on the podcast, God, back in 2020, I think it was. When he really? First got, yeah, he's got 943,000. Yeah. It's up on YouTube. I'll have to repost it. But yeah, we had him on the show. I think Dave was still on the show back then. No.
Oh God.
Maybe?
Have we heard from him?
No. Dave may have been on the show. It may not have been AJ Wilson. I had somebody else on the show one time, and Dave was like asking questions. The guy just answered like fucking 10 minutes before, and I'm just like, dude, at least fucking focus enough during the interview. So we won't have any of those problems when we have our next guest come on.
That's funny. I remember watching some of his lives coming out of your garage back in the day. He'd be live on something. I don't remember. I don't remember if it was
probably
YouTube.
Probably Periscope. No.
That's right. It was Periscope. He'd be live on Periscope.
He'd be in your garage, and I'd see the K-Rock banner up
on before it. Periscope, it was Meerkat. So Meerkat was first. Okay. Then Periscope basically was Twitter's, and then Facebook Live came out. So Meerkat was around before YouTube had a live stream, before Facebook had a live stream. They were kind of on the vanguard of the social media live streaming. Hmm. And then Twitter, I think, bought it out or stole the technology, made Periscope, and then that's when Facebook and everybody else started popping up. But yep. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week, and we will talk to you all next week.
This has been a Digital 410 production.